This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk in San Francisco, and I'm here with Chief Warrant Officer Leo Zappawa with a message from the U.S. Coast Guard about ocean safety.
The Coast Guard is just one piece of a greater effort, valued partnerships, and I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize the hardworking folks that the Coast Guard works with every day at the city, county, state levels in California, and of course, our federal partners. And I understand that during these difficult times with regards to COVID, a lot of folks are maintaining their mental wellness through exercise. The majesty and the power of the ocean are oftentimes inviting places to go and see and be socially distant. Unfortunately, with these larger waves we're experiencing along the California coast, it can also be very easy to become complacent and not pay attention to what are commonly known as sneaker waves, or waves of higher magnitude that are infrequent and unexpected at a coastal area. All of us who have enjoyed time near our beautiful area beaches and seashore will see posted signs placed by local officials and when the weather is expected to be adverse. And I would ask your listeners to heed those warnings and take them very seriously. Anytime folks go out in the ocean, we encourage folks to always wear a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. The ones that are orange with retroreflective tape make it a lot easier for folks who are doing the rescuing to locate those people in distress. Unfortunately, we've also had some tragic search and rescue cases occur along the California coast. Most notably were the two search and rescue cases that occurred on the 10th of January at Pescadero Beach State Park and at Point Bonita, and a third that occurred on January 3rd at Blind Beach north of Bodega Bay. In total, five lives were lost in these cases. Very tragic. And in all of those cases, those aforementioned sneaker waves overwhelmed the folks on the beach and took them out to sea. And as we all know, anyone who's dipped a toe in the ocean here, it's very cold. It's only about 53 degrees the water temperature, so it's very easy to go into cold water shock and end up drowning, especially in such a turbulent environment. The ocean this time of year, it almost looks like a washing machine. And although it's very beautiful to view, it's also very dangerous. Now, I want to really convey to your listeners that although the ocean is beautiful on any day when the seas are high, like, folks should respect how mighty the ocean truly is. Never turn their back on the ocean when enjoying the beach or seashore on foot. If you're going out on the water, either on a surfboard, a sailboat, or powerboat, dress for that cold water environment and wear a life jacket at all times. I always recommend a Type 1, as they're designed to turn most people, even if they're unconscious, face up in the water. Finally, the Coast Guard is always hiring young men and women, and I can think of few organizations with such a rich tapestry of storied histories. 230 years of service to our nation. And we in the Coast Guard truly live the service motto of Semper Paratus, or always ready. I joined in 1996 and planned on only doing 4 years, and now in the blink of an eye, it's been 25.
All right, 9:40 a.m. on a Tuesday. It's time we get out on the seven seas with Karen Lyle co-hosting this segment from SailSportTalk.com. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great. I'm calling into the show from Riverside, California, down in Los Angeles.
Well, we have a guest today, and it is a naval officer, Lieutenant Mitch Campisti, the Commodore of Naval Postgraduate School Foundation Yacht Club, a position that he's volunteering for on his free time. A lieutenant, that's two silver bars in the Navy, the equivalent of a captain in the Army, Air Force, and the Marine Corps as well. Lieutenant Kempinski, welcome to the show. Were you OCS? Were you ROTC? Or were you at Annapolis?
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here. I was Naval Academy, class of 2014, actually.
Wow, don't give up the ship.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. And, you know, today we're actually talking about your volunteer activities for the Postgraduate Naval School Foundation Yacht Club, which I just learned about for the first time last night in a conversation with one of your racers. And so I'm so delighted to have you on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about your sailing program?
Yeah, so it's the Naval Postgraduate School Foundation Yacht Club, NPSFYC. We offer sailing opportunities to any military members in the area of Monterey and their families, whether you're active duty, reserve, or retired. And you, as a member, you can rent one of our three rental boats. We have two Santana 22s and a Pearson Electra. And our Santana 22s are named Cloud Nine and Rocket Man, and our Pearson Electra is named Iris. We also have a racing team for Shields class, and we allow any members to come participate, whether they have little experience to no experience, or they were collegiate athletes in sailing. And we go out there on our two Shields class boats, Meritage and Delaplane, and we race primarily against Monterey Peninsula Yacht Club. And this past year, 2021, we actually took a team of five to the National Shields Class Nationals in Maryland, and that was awesome. So we also offer classes to anybody that has no experience and wants to get involved. And that's good for the any members of the military as well as their families. And we get quite a few that come out. We have a couple hundred members now.
Lieutenant, last month I was in New Jersey. I was actually on the field when Navy upset Army, a huge upset. how much do you live and die with that every year?
Well, it kind of comes with the territory of being from the Naval Academy. My dad was actually from the Naval Academy, class 78, and he was a service warfare officer too. So I kind of grew up around that. As long as I can remember, grew up around that. The whole Army Navy deal. Actually, I have aunts and uncles who are West Point, so you can imagine our family gatherings. The banter between us, and still to this day, whenever there's Navy playing or whenever whenever you got the Army Navy game on, it's always a big deal.
Well, I can give you titles. You have lieutenant, but you also have the title of commodore in the yacht club.
Yeah.
And so, how long do you serve as a commodore? I know that people do rotate through, your graded station soon in another location. So, how does that work?
Yeah. So, we're on our shore tour here, getting a master's degree. I come here, and once I'm done with my master's degree, I go back out to the fleet. My next ship will be a destroyer, out in Florida. But while we're here, my program was 2.5 years. And, during the pandemic, I got involved. I got a whole story behind that, how that all kind of happened. But I took over probably around, start of 2020. So I did two race seasons with the club, and been at it for about 2 years now. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about watching the Army Navy game in Philly a few years ago, and it was the middle of a blizzard, and the cadets and the middies, they march out and they stand in formation, which seems like for a half hour, and they basically have like maybe a pea coat on. Most don't even have earmuffs. What was it like standing in formation out there and basically becoming an ice cube?
Yeah, so I actually was on the team my sophomore year, and then I've done standing out there as well. So I've kind of been on both sides of it, and I'll tell you, it's a long walk from the stadium. Or long walk from the academy to the stadium, long walk from your buses to the stadium and in formation. And, you're standing in formation for a long time. I mean, you get used to it though. I mean, this kind of, after 4 years, you just do this a lot. And then it's kind of not as big of a deal as it might seem. And then when it's all done, you go up in the stands and, you enjoy the game with the rest of the midshipmen.
Did you, play for Coach Nemo?
I did, yes.
He seems like a guy who is a player's coach, a guy that you got a lot of respect for, don't you?
Yeah, he really cares about the players, and he's been around a long time.
Well, Rick and I co-host this show, and Rick represents and has been a sports broadcaster for many, many more years than I've been a sales sport co-host. So I appreciate that when we bring a guest on that has a little bit of both worlds. So I'm really intrigued about the story that you said you had. You just gave us a little teaser. Could you tell me a little more about that story, about what you're doing with the yacht club?
Yeah, so when the pandemic started, There wasn't much to do besides doing Zoom classes from home, and I was invited out to race sailboats. Never done that before ever. Never really sailed before ever. Dean Ron Giacchetti was really the only guy that was running that was involved in the club, and he invited myself, Captain Ryan Moore, that you met, Major David Ritchie, and Lieutenant Tony Seda. A bunch of my friends, we all went out and we just learned trial by fire and race against the Monterey Peninsula Yacht Club. And, I never really sailed before, definitely never raced before. Who knew what a spinnaker was? I never knew what a spinnaker was. That was a whole, added complication there that I wasn't really planning for. But it was so fun. It was so fun. And we got so good at it. And, it went from Ron, yelling at us to, do every little thing to where we could actually, perform on our own and be competitive. And so I loved it so much, but the club just wasn't really getting taken care of. The Yacht Club is actually very rooted in the history of Naval Postgraduate School. And what I saw when I got there, it wasn't doing well. It wasn't being taken care of. It wasn't being paid attention to. They were actually, the Navy actually, was interested in getting rid of the pier that we had our boats on. We just had one race boat and one, rental boat, and then another rental boat stinking at the pier. So I said, you know what? I can't leave anything alone. So I just took over Commodore and roped in the other guys thankfully, graciously, they helped me out as board members. We got moving on just improving the club, and we did it from a perspective of being really into what we were doing. It wasn't a job. It was super fun. Now it became, it was like a full-time job in itself to run this thing, but it's fun. And we got moving. We doubled the racing, more than doubled the fleet. We now have three boats. Like I said, we have one racing boat. Our other racing boat was donated to us by Jerry Stratton from Monterey Peninsula Yacht Club, and Iris, one of our rental boats. A team of us actually went to San Francisco and bought it cash and sailed it down from San Francisco back to Monterey. And 31 hours through the night, and that was really, really interesting. We just try to put
that
together.
That is a really tough journey. That's actually a very tough journey for such a small boat.
Yeah, I'm glad you recognize that, because it was pretty tough. We had two conditions. We had crazy, crazy, crazy wind and zero wind. And both of those have, significant issues to overcome. And it was pretty tough, but it brought us a lot closer together, and it's definitely a big memory to have. Rocket Man, our last one, we actually trailered it from San Francisco, and that actually had its own difficulties, bringing down the mast, prepping it for travel, and craning it out of the water, doing the reverse when we got it to Monterey. But my brother, Stephen Kempiski, he's a web developer, professional web developer, and he actually created our website, npsfyachtclub.com. And since then, we've gotten a big increase in members. We have where you can, very nicely, easily set up your scheduling for your rental boats, and also set up your scheduling for your classes now. And as I mentioned, we offer classes. We have an official Burgee now, it's just really getting going. And we facilitated the Nationals deal, and we're just trying to increase our footprint in the sailing medium of showing the presence of the Navy, military, and Naval Postgraduate School.
Last question for you. My dad retired lieutenant commander. He went through OCS in Newport, Rhode Island in the 50s, but there was a lot of seamanship being taught. So for you, when you say you didn't know a spinnaker, it's more, the Naval Academy is more about engineering and tech now than it is getting out on the Chesapeake in a dinghy then?
Well, as a plebe in plebe summer, you do sailing. But that for me was a long time ago at this point. And you know, you know, you forget a lot about that stuff. But we definitely didn't have spinnakers. I mean, we had like you said, the little dinghies. So I did have like a very, very short time of experience. But you know, I'm a service warfare officer and spend a lot of my life on the sea. But you know, warships are very different worlds. So you know, I'm comfortable on the water, and that definitely helps. You know, me starting to learn from scratch. But in terms of, you know, the way that sailing works is definitely not the way that you drive a warship. So two different worlds.
That is Lieutenant Mitch Kempiski, United States Navy, part of the Navy Surface Warfare Program, Space Systems Engineering, and Naval Postgraduate School. But he's here talking about being the Commodore of the Naval Postgraduate School Foundation Yacht Club. Lieutenant, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. This is awesome. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good stuff. Karen, nice guest. We'll see you next week.
And also on the website, there's a picture of spinnakers.
There it is, sailsporttalk.com. Thanks, Karen. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back.